Welcome to the Share Life podcast with Jason Scott Montoya, where we explore stories and systems to live better and work smarter. Welcome to an inspirational people interview on the Share Life podcast. I'm Jason Scott Montoya, and today I'm here with Ron Medlin. Ron, say hello.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Ron is a fellow internet marketer. We orbited each other's lives for a few years without meeting each other. Mm-hmm. But we ended up becoming friends after, Ron had referred a project to me and he had kind of gone off in his entrepreneurship journey. And we ended up being friends, getting lunch together, hanging out, spending time, having a lot of shared values. But anyways, we've gone on our variety of wild adventures, and every once in a while, our lives intersect, and this is one of those moments. So looking forward to Ron sharing his story with us today. So Ron, tell us about who are you and where do you come from?
Who am I and where do I come from? Well, I was born and raised in a tiny town in Mississippi called New Albany, Mississippi. If anybody's ever heard of it, okay. Probably not.
What's the population of this town? Like 100 people?
it's not that small, but I think it was like 8,000 when I was growing up. Maybe it's like 10,000-12,000 now. And I think it actually got voted one of the nicest little towns in Mississippi. So it's definitely growing up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went from little town to big town. How did that happen?
Went to Ole Miss, hottie toddy, by the way, if anybody's watching, Rebel fans, and graduated there in, I think, what is it, 99 now? I'm dating myself, but but I had a bunch of friends that moved to Atlanta, and I was kind of dabbling in day trading, as you know, and lost a bunch of money trying to do it myself. And it's funny, and this feels like God's hand.
So that was during the tech boom, right?
Yeah.
Is that why you lost a lot of money then?
Well, or was it unrelated? I just didn't really know what I was doing. Like me and my dad went to this training course, and I don't think that they knew what they were doing. So the thing that they taught was kind of weird. And it's funny, this is why I think God had a hand on like me moving to Atlanta. It's like you don't meet a lot of day traders just out and about. Maybe you did more at that time, but one of my roommates from college was actually living with the guy in Atlanta that was day trading, and I was day trading at the time, and he kind of talked me into coming to Atlanta. I don't know if you remember this, but right around 1999, this guy went crazy and shot a bunch of people at this the trading firm that I was at in Buckhead. Because before I got there,
I didn't know that.
My friend had gotten shot. Sorry to bring it. I know that's kind of a downer, but so ended up moving. That guy taught me into moving up here and starting to day trade with that firm. So
you're like, hey, you want to go to a company that got shot up?
Exactly. So and I don't think I knew about it till like months later. But
it's wild about the things that have happened that we don't know about.
Yeah, I love that experience. I mean, day trading was some of the most fun years of my life. Made a lot of money, didn't have to work that hard. I think I, got to the office at like 8:30 in the morning, traded till like 10, and then left for the day. Maybe I'd come back in the afternoon.
Was it your money or someone else's?
It was my money. So they had there's a prop trading firm, if anybody is familiar with that, where they do have traders there that they back. And then they take a percentage of it, and then the trader takes the rest of it. But I was trading my own money. So, but it was, did that for almost 10 years, had some great years, had some mediocre years, never really lost. But then 2008 hit, and it just got way harder to, make money. So I started teaching myself, I got into like MLMs and different ways to try to supplement my income. And then that's kind of how I got into marketing. At the time, there was really no formal education that you could go to for internet marketing, like at a college or anything like that. Yeah. It was like kind of the Wild West. You learned everything online. I'm sure we all followed the same people.
Well, I mean, in 2005, 2005, 6, 7, 8, it was MySpace and you know, just building websites. I learned, I kind of learned about a system called Mambo that became Joomla, which is one of the systems I specialize in now. That's still around.
Yeah, I remember Joomla when you were...
WordPress came around. There was TypePad and other things, but Blogger, yeah, it was...
Do you remember a tool called SE Nuke?
I think so. I don't
backlink builder thing.
Yeah. There was a lot of tools. I can't remember the one I'm thinking of, the old one though. It's been around a long time, but I can't remember the name, but Moz was, I remember when Moz first came around, and, that was an interesting era. Cause I kind of came up in the blogging era, right? When blogging was becoming the big thing before social media kind of gave everyone a platform. You could blog but not everyone would take advantage of that. So yeah, go on.
Right.
Yeah.
So in 2010, I had, you know, been teaching myself kind of paid search and SEO for a while. And then 2010, I launched my first marketing agency, and that was kind of serving local businesses, doing SEO and paid search. And I was using, you know, the gray hat kind of techniques with that tool I just mentioned, SE Nuke. And it would build all these backlinks. And literally what I would do is I would create a spreadsheet. I've gone on Warrior Forum, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still around or not.
Yeah.
But I found this dude in the Philippines that would be, I'd fill out this form the first week of every month, and then I'd send it to him, and he would do all the work for me. And I literally didn't have to do anything but try to get clients, which was great. But I was like cold calling and stuff, which is not my, you know, strong point, but you know, it was working. I was, hitting like 200K a year or something like that. And then 2011 comes around and Google changes their algorithm. I think it's Penguin or Panda or whatever the one for backlinks was. But anyway, I woke up the next day and all my clients had gone from like one or two to completely all out of the search engine. You couldn't even find them. So had to go, you know, tail between my legs and reach out
panicking?
To all my clients. Oh God. I mean, I felt like I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was going to get sued or, you know, and you know, I didn't know any better. Everybody was doing it. So I didn't think anything would happen. But anyway, that's when I kind of found HubSpot and became a value added reseller of HubSpot because, you know, they were kind of doing more legit content creation for SEO, you know.
So what year was that you discovered HubSpot?
That was, man, I want to say like maybe 2012, 2013, maybe.
Okay.
So I did that for a while by myself. And then, you know, we met the guys 98 to go.
Yeah.
And
Fred, combined. Was it Fred that you met or was it someone else you met first?
Fred and Tom. I don't even know. Oh, I know how we met. It was a networking event. And you remember Day, right?
Oh, I never met him, but I heard stories.
Oh, I thought you were sitting there. I thought you were at the gym that one time.
Was he? I don't know if he was there that time. Maybe he was there and I just forgot. But yeah, maybe I did meet him. I forgot.
Gotcha.
When I did CrossFit and you guys were all like climbing on the ceiling and I was like literally like dragging myself across the floor, wheezing.
Yeah, exactly. So they came to a networking event. Day was there, very charismatic guy. But met Tom and Fred and Matthew and all those guys. And so we can, you know, kind of partnered up for a while. That ended up going kind of south at some point. Then I was like, all right, I'm kind of done. I'm tired of being an entrepreneur. This is hard. I just want to go work for somebody. So, got hired as the director of digital marketing for a PR firm here in Atlanta. Hated it. One of the worst experiences.
Company or just being an employee? You couldn't handle that.
Being an employee, being stuck to a desk all day, being stuck inside under like, well, not that I'd leave this place that much.
Well, it looks like you're in a cabin in the woods somewhere.
My house got a nice camera, it makes it look good. So did that for a couple of years, actually ended up getting fired from that position like the day before Thanksgiving. They called me and said, you know, I'm gonna let you go.
Wow. So how long were you there in total then?
I think it was 2 years.
Okay.
Almost 2 years exactly. But you know, I was relieved slash scared. And this is another one of those instances that just felt kind of, you know, God's head hand on it.
Yeah.
Literally, I think it was either the day that I got fired or a couple of days after. I used to listen to this podcast. What was his name? I can't remember his name. Anyway, it was like one of my favorite podcasts. It's like a marketing podcast.
Okay.
Passive Income. He's good friends with that dude. What is it? I'll try to think of it. But
yeah. Not Seth so, Godin, but he didn't have a podcast then.
No, he was a Facebook ads guy, but he's now kind of transitioned into something a little bit more broad.
Got it.
It'll come
to you later, and then you could just spit it out.
Yeah,
it's like whenever you like need the name, it's like all of a sudden it leaves you.
Exactly. So it was funny because I don't know if you met this guy back in the day, but a guy named Rob. Rob Bailey, who I had met, we had, you know, kind of had several conversations, became friends, and he came on this podcast and like out of nowhere, like it wouldn't be somebody that I would even have expected. Not that I had been following his career and knew what was going on with him, but he came on this podcast, on a very popular podcast, and he was being interviewed, and he had started this Facebook ads agency serving fitness studios. And he was just crushing it, like absolutely crushing it. So still had his number and everything. I texted him. I was like, "Hey, dude, I just heard you on the podcast. What's going on? What are you doing over there? Hook me up." And so he's had this program. He gave me a deal on it. He had this event out in San Diego. So I went out to the event, and that was where a tool called High Level. We were talking about it earlier. It's like a marketing automation / funnel builder / Swiss Army knife of marketing tool. And so they launched at that event, and now they're like got their second round of funding for like $60 million. So they're growing like extremely fast.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome tool for like agencies and because you can white label it and like sell it as your own, so you can become like a SaaSpreneur is what they call it.
Yeah.
So started a yoga studio agency servicing yoga studios, helping them grow their memberships. Obviously, COVID hits a couple of years later. That agency was also going really well. COVID hit, crushed that because yoga studios just couldn't open and they lost all their members and I.
So you had another panic moment of, oh no, what do I do?
Another panic moment. That was a little bit more serious, obviously, because of the times, you know, with COVID coming on, I was like, dang, what, like, is the world ending? Like, what is going to happen?
The world has been eddied for the last 3 years.
Yeah. So, I had picked up some different skills, learned a lot of things. That's one thing that I'm always learning and trying to, you know.
Why are you that way? Why are you an ongoing learner?
I really don't know. I like it. I love it. It drives me. And I just
you that I'm, way as a kid. Or did that evolve as you got older?
Not with school. I mean, I don't recall any subjects in school that just made me curious and wanted me.
Were you an opportunistic learner? So I'll give you an example. I in school, I did the kind of the bare minimum to get like A's and B's. But then I would use my other time to do other things, like figure out how to get around the school firewall so we could do things we wanted to do instead of things they didn't want us to do. So I learned things. I was interested in learning things that helped me get what I wanted.
When I found marketing, I think marketing just fascinates me in general. And so I just want to learn I want to be the best at the thing that I'm working on at any time. So I'm constantly seeing what other people are doing, changing them into my own frameworks and then utilizing those to get whatever result I'm after. So, it's so fast changing now that if you're not learning, you're a year behind already, you know? Yeah. especially now with like ChatGPT and all the AI stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, it's so fast. I mean, I'm still not on TikTok yet. So I'm like a dinosaur right now, but so I have been using ChatGPT and playing around with it, but yeah, the social media thing. There's a social media site that I love. It's called upcarta.com, and it's
what is it?
It's upcarta.com, upcarta.com. And what I love, I love it for a lot of reasons, but I'm a content collector and sharer. Mm-hmm. And so it lets me say it's content oriented. So on social media, it's post driven. So you post something and then people interact. But here there are like little conversations around pieces of content. So if I have a podcast I listen to, that piece of content has one link and everyone else shares that link. And so they can have the conversation or post about it or make recommendations or interact, but it's around the pieces of content, which is more how I tend to operate. And so if we talk about the Titanic, if Twitter is the Titanic and it hit the iceberg and it's now sinking, Upcarta is my little safety boat. So, and I've gotten connected to the founders
in a way, sort of,
but more organized and better, better systems. And you can create collections of stuff. There's a tool I used to use called Snippet. And mm-hmm. Ended up getting sold to Yahoo, and then Yahoo shut it down. But it was like the perfect tool for, it was the same kind of tool. And that was like 12 years ago, and I've been looking for a replacement, and I finally found it.
Yeah. So it's like bookmarking tools, which I haven't even thought about in years. That's funny.
Yeah. But it's socially, communally oriented. And then it has a save for later system. So all the articles, YouTube videos, podcasts I want to listen to or watch or read later, if mm-hmm. I save it. So it's got like a clipper. I save it and then go read my stuff, you know, later and organize it. And then when I organize into collections, I can go to you and say, hey, here's all, like, for example, you mentioned community. I've got a collection about the future of what community looks like in the digital era. Mm-hmm. So I can now send you this link and you get all these great resources, and I don't have to do anything because it's all organized already.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. I just wrote it down. So check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my little commercial for you guys up there.
they're an affiliate.
Well, I just love what they're doing, so it's like anything I could do. But I've gotten to know the founders, and I just, they take my ideas and they like implement some of them, and so I'm like grateful. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought about that podcast, Rick Mulready. If you remember, if you ever,
I do not know that Rick How do you say his last name?
Mulready.
Rick Mulready. I have not heard of him. Okay.
Check it out. I haven't listened to it in years. I think it's changed a little bit, but anyway.
But he's still around.
I think so.
Okay.
So let's see. So I started my yoga studio. So I learned a bunch of skills, and that's kind of where we took the detour a little bit.
Sorry to derail you once again, but.
No, I'm totally.
Do you have an affinity towards search ads versus SEO or social media versus search ads?
Social media. So I have a coaching program where we teach basically other coaches, how to use Facebook groups to build six-figure businesses. So mostly just Facebook, but I love YouTube too. I have a YouTube channel. Mm.
And who's your target? Because, you know,
coaches.
But like what type of, does it matter what type of coach, like a business coach or a relationship coach or?
I would say the ones that are probably would get the best result are like business coaches, like people that teach other people different marketing solutions offer different done for you service. Agencies could be one. It's really anybody that's like, if you serve somebody that is consuming content on Facebook, mostly specifically, like your audience is on Facebook and they're searching for consuming content to help them, you know, solve a problem essentially.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. If any listeners, if you have any ideas, send them
around. Your old freelancers would have worked really well for this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyways, go back to your story.
Okay.
Specialty vocation.
Yeah. So part of what I did to get clients with my yoga studio agency was, so I'd gotten really good at High Level, which is the tool we were talking about. And it was growing so fast that a lot of people were just I had a YouTube channel, so I was like,
oh, wow,
creating content around high level. So a lot of people, and with high level, one of the cool things that you can do with it is you can create what it's called a snapshot, which is a clone of an account. So all the funnels that you have in there, the email sequences, all the automations, all that stuff, I can clone it. And then I can give you a link and it can push into your account and you've got everything set up for you. So I started building these out for different industries and then selling them through YouTube. And I've got one video that I probably did 17 months ago, and I've probably made multiple 5 figures from it.
Wow. Just selling that template.
Yeah, just making that one video, which is awesome. I mean, YouTube's fantastic for like evergreen sales and stuff. But
yeah.
I'd gotten really good at high level. We had gotten a system down for hiring virtual assistants to do DM outreach, so reaching out to people in Messenger. Yeah. And we had kind of started providing that service, albeit at first it was kind of not great, but we, like, again, I try to be the best at whatever we do. So we improved those systems, the processes, the training, everything like that, and got really much better at it. I'm proud of what we have now.
That's cool.
In place. And then throughout that time, I had bought I don't consider myself a great salesperson. I can sell because I know my product, but I'm not, you know.
Which is ironic because, like, you literally have been doing sales your whole life.
Yeah. But I would, you know, I'm not Grant Cardone. I'm not going to, you know, I can't sell anybody anything.
I just have a different style, though, I think.
Right.
Yeah. A different model.
But I wanted to get better at sales. So I joined this mastermind by these guys, Chris Baden and Sean Malone. And in the background, they were working on this DM outreach tool that's now, you know, live and been around for a while. It's called Flowchat. And I was training virtual assistants to do DM outreach. And I had this relationship with these guys. So I was like, hey, why don't I just recruit and train virtual assistants to specifically use the Flowchat software? Because the way that Flowchat works is, if you're a business owner, you don't want to be doing the DM outreach. You really need to offload that and have somebody else doing it. And so we were training virtual assistants, and they would just bring us clients, and we would set them up with virtual assistants.
And what year was that?
When did it start? So I would say maybe 2021, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so that was, that still, that was and still is a big part of our business. And then, you know, I started to see that cold outreach, which is just reaching out to people in the DMs and what I call pitch slapping them.
Yeah.
So just sending your pitch to people that have never talked to you before.
Yeah.
And expecting people to book a call with you. I just saw that to kind of start going, not working as well, because everybody was starting to do it and it was starting to become saturated, that technique. So, and I knew just from, like, you know, watching Gary Vee and all these other people that you really needed to add content and build an audience that way, because it builds know, like, and trust, so that people can see that they determine whether they like your style, your personality, and to see whether you are actually know what you're doing and you have expertise in what you're pitching or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that combination with the DM outreach and the Facebook group, which is kind of a not only a way to generate leads, but also to nurture those leads on a platform which is the biggest social media platform in the world. So I kind of figured all that mix together and created a coaching offer around it. And so that's what we're, and also I can offer software like high level and I white label Flowchat as well. So,
okay.
And just came together really nicely. And that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. That's exciting. So if you kind of were to rewind back through your story, like what are some of the kind of the major lessons you learned along the way and these sort of panic moments and pivot moments and transition moments. Yeah.
Well, one is that you never get comfortable, because the second you think things are great and everything's fixed is when, you know, the shit hits the fan, excuse my language. And, you know, I'm not out there expecting it, but I'm ready for it. Also, the skills that I learned throughout my career can help. First of all, will help you in the future to, you know, marketing. Now that I know how to market better, because I sucked it as a marketer when I was first learning everything, but I've been in it now for 13 years, I guess. So I've become a much better marketer. And when you are a good marketer, I feel like you can really, and you understand how to create offers. You understand how, you know, what the audit, what the, your audience wants, that kind of thing. I think you can continue to make a living online these days.
Yeah.
There's lots of opportunity for it.
What would you say to someone who wants, is just getting started, like how to explore that opportunity or get, or to find a way to get started?
Yeah. So, so one of the things is that I did when I kind of created my most recent offer is I have this like chart on the, you know, on the vertical axis. It's like, career experiences. How's it set up? Career experiences and then impact or something like that. Anyway, I started just listing out all the things that I had done throughout my career. And then I started to see like a pattern of things that kind of fit together and that I was good at. And one thing I will tell you is I didn't mention this, but I've tried to start multiple other businesses throughout that entire process. I started a, I don't know if you remember this, but I started a e-commerce store selling supplements.
Oh, okay. I think I vaguely remember something.
Yeah. So I mean, I went deep on this. I had the whole, you know, I have,
you're like, kind of trying
I still
to,
have like, I still have like 2000 bottles in the closet.
Oh,
in there.
You never sold them.
Yeah. So if you want some, you let me know. But
well, just, I do need a glucosamine chondroitin. So if you have any of that, that's
I
for
don't
my,
have that.
My neck discs to get healthier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have some herniated discs. So.
Oh, dang, man. So it's just stick with what you're good at, really. I mean, I think people try to go into these different directions and, you know, fit a square in a circle hole or whatever that phrase is. And it just, and if it feels like it doesn't align, it's probably going to be really hard to start a business in it, you know?
Well, I liked your idea of writing it out and looking for the patterns. And I think the thing I would encourage people to is also like, let it unfold organically in the sense that if you can get like a larger net and then you can close that net in onto the focus more and more. Like if I look at where I started freelancing and where I am now, I'm like, my focus is much more narrow. And then that lets me deepen my expertise in that narrow focus. And then I can keep going and keep going with that narrow.
Yeah.
So I like that idea.
Also, a couple other things is where do you have knowledge? Where's your network? Because, you know, if you have a good network in a certain industry or whatever you're going into, it's going to be much easier for you to potentially get clients from it.
Mm.
Is your audience, can you find them somewhere online?
Yeah.
And do they
now
have the money to
talk about that one? Because that's a hard one.
Or not even necessarily online, but somewhere where you can get in.
But even anywhere, like I'll give you an example. So Path of the Freelancer, we've discussed this before. Like freelancers are everywhere, but they're nowhere. So it's been difficult to figure out how to reach them because they're so fragmented. Now that's not the case with everyone. I'm in a Slack group that's with a bunch of writers. Sometimes for some reason writers tend to group together, but yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. And it's, I think it's a lot harder for certain targets than it is others.
Yeah. I would think freelancers would be definitely on YouTube searching for stuff, probably on Facebook and Facebook groups, you know, trying to learn how to be a freelancer.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are my kind of go-to. So I always default to those.
But, yeah.
So I forgot what we were talking about. Anyway.
You were talking about your chart, you know, a hierarchy of focus and then kind of spiraling off of that.
And then also, can they pay for your product or service? That's important.
In terms of do they have types of money that could afford it?
Mm-hmm.
or enough of them. There's enough of an audience. Yeah. So does that mean is that more viable with B2B than it is with B2C, or is it not that clear cut?
You're talking about to be able to no.
Because a B2B is usually going to have a higher price point, higher profit margin than B2C. Now, that's not always the case. But.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess you would consider me I'm selling mostly to individuals, but I guess they're businesses technically. You know?
Yeah.
But
even just small businesses or, entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Right. Entrepreneurs, really. Coaches.
Yeah. So when you think about living better, what does that mean to you?
I think it's important to enjoy what you do. I know that can't always be the case when, you know, you have a family to support and you gotta have a job and that kind of thing. But to me, it's extremely important to enjoy what I do or I would just not be happy. Also,
which is,
you know,
we are experienced as that employee, right? Is that kind of
the
example?
I can't imagine spending 25 years.
Would you rather, I guess, you tell us, is it better to work for someone making money or to do something you love and maybe struggle? Like, if you kind of have.
I think the latter, but I don't have any responsibilities. Like, I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad that I'm able to do what I'm doing. And, you know, I think also it just keeps me motivated and moving forward and growing as a person to be able to do that. I think entrepreneurship really fosters that kind of thing. Obviously, you know, fitness has always been a big part of my life. I don't think I could live without, you know, it's a good stress reliever. It keeps me.
Yeah. And by the way, for those that don't know, Ron can like literally like hold his body up with his left finger. That's how strong he is.
I don't think I can do that anymore. That was probably 15 years ago. Whatever. And then just having a work-life balance, you know, I try to cut my days off at, you know, 6 p.m. Okay. Sometimes it goes a little bit later than that,
Talk about that. Because we're in a society that wants to work every day all the time. And we kind of look up to Elon Musk as like, look at him. He's working all the time and he's going to the moon. But I think there's something wrong with that. So tell us about that.
I do prescribe to the fact that you've got to work hard in this, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's not going to come overnight. It's not going to be, make money fast type thing. You gotta work your ass off. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. Plus I only have the energy these days at 46 years old to be really, you know, most of my creative work is I got to do it in the morning past noon.
You're done.
It's all like, you know, it's all, operations and that kind of thing.
So you're facing the limitations, more explicitly than when you were younger.
Yeah. For sure. How old are you now?
So I'll be 39 this year, I think.
Dang, yeah. Youngster.
So how old are you?
Youngster. 46, just turned 46. 46. Yeah.
So I got a few years left and then it's downhill from there. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I would say is just, you know, work-life balance. Try to find something that you enjoy in what you do. I love what I do, so that's good. And I forgot what else I said.
Yeah. Well, so
you now also let's... forget more things when you're 46.
Yeah. You got to write it down. So what does it mean to work smarter then?
Well, I'm a huge automation nerd, just like you. I know you are. I also, you know, every time I do something, I try to create an SOP around it so I can either automate it or delegate it. You know, one of the things we do is we recruit and train virtual assistants. So I want to be just doing strategy, creating content, You know, I'm not there yet, but I've got a lot of stuff that's automated, which is awesome, which I'm, you know, I think that that is ultimately what you need to do is do something once, try to map it out every single step so you can hand it off or figure out how you can automate pieces of it. And then that's ultimately how you're going to end up saving yourself tons of time.
Yeah. And do you know what your Big Five personality or Myers-Briggs is?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Or any other personality test? I was just curious what your personality was.
If you had to guess, what do you think it would be? Because I don't even know what they are.
Man. Well, extroversion or introversion would be the
first. I'm definitely introverted.
Agreeable or disagreeable?
Probably disagreeable.
Okay, so maybe in the middle, it sounds like. you're not wanting to disagree with me, so that might be agreeable. let's see, what are the other ones? Neurotic? When you face like difficult panic moments, do you have a hard time with the emotions or
I don't think
you kind of more easygoing in that sense?
I'm pretty, you know, I don't get too excited. I don't get too down. Okay. I'm just kind of like
more even keel.
Yeah.
Openness. Are you open to ideas or more closed-minded about? Okay.
I think I'm open to idea.
Yeah. And then,
although I think I'm right most of the time, so I don't know.
Well, as we all are, but I think as entrepreneurially as you are, I imagine you have to be more openness. And then the other is, conscientious, which would be like someone who takes responsibility, versus sort of someone that's less responsible.
Self-aware.
I'll just read the efficient, organized versus extravagant or careless would be sort of the two extremes of conscientiousness.
I'm efficient, but careless.
Okay. Yeah. So I would figure your conscientiousness is probably, because it's at a score of a percentile of 100, but you might be more in the middle, which is, people that are highly conscientious tend to be the managers, like the people who maintain it. And then entrepreneurs tend to be lower on conscientiousness and they tend to delegate it. So,
yeah, just take action and then see if it works. And then I probably screw a lot of things up and then I can
figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you would say on working smarter?
Well, I would say, and I'm not good at this, but like blocking off, calendar blocking. Mm-hmm. And then I personally need to do all my creative stuff in the morning. So, you know, I think probably most people would probably be like that just because you kind of get lethargic in the afternoon. So that's kind of like do all your creative stuff in the morning. And then make sure that you block it, like literally block it off on the calendar. Be very specific what that block is about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. What about mentoring? How has mentoring had a role in your life, both as the mentor and the mentee?
Well, I wouldn't say, and I was thinking about this because you sent me your questions, but I wouldn't say I've ever had a direct mentor. I wish I would have, but I've bought like college tuitions amount of courses and coaching programs. And I do firmly believe that when you find the right program, it's about as good an investment as you can make in your business and in your, you know, if you're doing something to help with your, you know, life. Because the return on investments, you know.
Yeah.
Exponential. Well,
when you say that, it makes me think of a system I stumbled across, actually someone told me about it, called Win Without Pitching by Blair Enns. And I had kind of been facing the very problem that he is solving. I had gone through it and was sort of like trapped, but I had no way out. I just didn't know a way out. And so when this person tells me about it, I was primed because it was like, I needed a way out of this broken system. And this was the doorway open and I walked right through it, read the book and like changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it probably had a huge impact on, you know, how much money you made and all that stuff.
Yeah. Simplified things and focused and effective. And and I've had different things like that, but that was one of the most profound ones I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But there's definitely, if you get the wrong, you spend the money on the wrong one, it's, you know, it can definitely be disappointing.
Yeah. So how do you figure out if it's the right one or wrong one before you buy it? What's your advice there?
There's a, I don't know who coined this phrase, but I think it's called like end time learning. Mm-hmm. And so what is the bottleneck that you're trying to fix right that or there in your business, and then go find the best person out there on the market to fix that bottleneck.
Yeah. Cool. I like that idea.
Sometimes there's a lot of people that kind of are really good at marketing. And so maybe their actual fulfillment or their product's not that great. So sometimes that can be difficult, but you know, do your best to figure out what that bottle and a lot of times I've just had the shiny ball syndrome and ended up buying something I really didn't need at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, that looks good. I have a client and he says his, when he gets anxiety, he wants to hire freelancers. That's kind of his way of time. You know, we all have when we're feel out of control, we all have our way of sort of handling that. And that was one of his is like, I hire people or agencies or freelancers. But I think, that's interesting. I'll have to think about this some more, but, I think a lot of times just knowing what to look for is the thing we need. Like once we know it, then it's like, now we start to see it everywhere. It seems like.
Right.
So,
cause you know, there's certain at times, if we're talking about business, there's certain constraints in your business or bottlenecks that, you know, maybe you don't necessarily know how to fix. So you're going to have to seek outside training or whatever. And the thing about hiring a coach or a course creator is it shrinks the time, right? So you could go out and you could probably figure it out by watching a bunch of YouTube videos and all that stuff. But hiring the right person can shrink that that time period of learning and you know, accelerate the results faster.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an organization called the Leaders Lyceum, and they were a client of mine, and I've interviewed Keith, who's one of the founders, on my podcast, and I also went through their program. And one of their value propositions is just exactly what you're saying. It's like, essentially, their program, it's a leadership development, character and maturity growth, and it's empirically based. It's based on how humans actually, or adults actually develop. And what an adult normally does in 6 years, their program helps you do it in 6 months.
Yep.
So that's a pretty huge win, right? If you go through that program and you get that. And that's, I think, what you're saying is as you can do the six-year journey or the six-month
plan. Yeah, you want the six-year plan or the six-month plan.
Yeah.
And that's why you pay a lot of money to probably be in that program, you know?
Exactly. How have stories impacted you, real or fictional, narratives, stories, parables, movies, books? How have they shaped you as a person, or which stories have shaped you as a person?
That's a good question. It's a hard question for me. So obviously I'm Christian like you. So obviously the Bible has been a big impact on me personally. You know, I'm actually reading just the New Testament and just focusing on, you know, what Jesus says and just really zooming in on that and trying to really think it through, like what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So that's huge. I love movies. So I don't know any specific to, you know, talk about.
What are some of the movies you've watched over and over again?
Well, this is going to sound bad as a Christian, but Pulp Fiction's like one of my favorite movies. So,
what is it about it though that is compelling for you?
Well, I think all Quentin Tarantino's movies have great dialogue. So you know, it's funny. It's action packed. It's the story's kind of like I do find myself liking these movies that have like different storylines going all, and then they come together at the end or whatever.
Yeah, kind of converge crossover.
I mean, Forrest Gump, I've watched that one over and over again.
Yeah.
I think it's just entertaining. A great movie. What else?
Have you watched Cobra Kai?
Yeah, I do watch Cobra Kai.
Okay. And do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cheesy as hell, but it's good.
But it works. They figured out how to do it. But the dialogue, you mentioned you love dialogue, and the dialogue in that is just amazing. It's like I could write those lines and frame them on my wall. They're just so good.
Yeah. What about Succession? Have you watched that? That's another good.
I have not. I've heard a lot about it, but I have not seen it.
That's one of probably the best written shows I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think about stories day to day, or is it more of just an entertainment thing for you? Or,
well, as I've learned marketing, I've always been this more tactical person.
Yeah.
As opposed to kind of the art or the, the persuasion part of marketing. I've always been a tactical, that's why I like automation and all that kind of stuff. But the more and more I follow, the masters that just absolutely crush it in their industry, they're storytellers, right? So, all of their marketing is like hook story, like Russell Brunson's framework, hook, story, offer. Hook, story, offer. So it hooks you in, tells you a story, and then makes an offer to you. So more and more, it's a skill that I want to learn. I don't think I'm a very good storyteller at this point. I definitely think it's an acquired skill, or some people are just natural at it. But I do think it's extremely important part of, marketing and persuasion for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What about systems? How do you think about and utilize systems?
Well, like I've been saying, I'm a huge nerd. So you're a big Airtable guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, Airtable is my best friend.
Okay. Well, I use ClickUp, so it's somewhat similar, but I think so a lot of people use Airtable, which it's a little bit harder for me to figure that one out than ClickUp for some reason.
It's more customizable, but if you don't know what you want to make, then a system that has more structure in it is usually easier than Airtable.
Yeah.
So
I love systems. So kind of the way that I have my marketing systems, I have my sales systems, and then I have my fulfillment system. So the marketing system is kind of the tool Flowchat. So we're doing a lot of DM outreach. We're managing kind of those conversations and promoting content there. Kind of our sales and marketing system is HighLevel, which is, it's a marketing automation tool where you can send text and email. There's funnels in there. And then when somebody closes, we send them into our fulfillment system, which is like ClickUp, where we kind of manage to them going through our program and everything like that. And then also like Slack for communication. Mm-hmm. So, I've come up with SOPs and connecting all those two tools together to make it kind of flow, seamlessly from when you generate a lead to when they purchase to when they, were helping fulfill what they paid us for,
Yeah. When does a system become tyrannical?
Well, I would say, and I'm not very good at this, is documenting your systems is probably pretty important, because if somebody, like if I was ever wanting to sell my business or something, it'd probably be difficult for it right now, because I'd have to figure out how to tell somebody where everything is. So documenting your systems and like how everything's connected, and I think that's important. I don't really know how to do that necessarily. Do you document the stuff that you build?
Well, I mean, sort of, but part of that is because it's part of my message. So like I wrote Path the Freelancer, which is essentially like a blueprint. And I have the Airtable, and people can download the freelancing template, and I've got some documentation that goes with it. I blog and post, checklists and different things. So I kind of kill lots of birds with few stones, but that's why I do it. It's because I've integrated the dynamic of doing it into my workflows and the clients. I do a lot of training with clients, so it might make sense to it. But And I even have an Airtable for like our family, you know, for certain things to keep things organized. But I don't know that Kate, my wife, could. She knows it enough to kind of figure it out. But she, you know, if I got hit by a bus or run over by a Lamborghini, then you know, there's definitely not enough documentation to help her like fully understand it all. But but I think part of it gets to what's like. I'll give you an example. When I had my marketing company, I was really good at building these systems and documenting them, but like way ahead of myself. So I'm like thinking, okay, 3 years, this is the system we need. And so I build it and document it. It's like, okay, this is impractical. So I think there is a relevance factor we have to keep in mind. It's like, well, there has to be a purpose for that documentation. And right. So
now I've built a lot of stuff that I don't ever use. So that's for sure.
Yeah. What else about systems? How do you use it in your personal life, or do you?
I do not. I'm the most unorganized person there is in my personal life.
Well, do you have an alarm clock? That's a system.
Yes, I do, on my phone.
Okay. Well, how do you end your day at 6? Do you have an alarm, or do you just see the time and you do it? Or
Well, just naturally. I mean, I don't take any calls after 6. And I'm usually just so tired at that point that just, all right, it's time to get on the couch and relax and turn on a show or something.
And then what about the CrossFit? Is that a schedule that you follow for that?
I do that. I try to do that. So I wake up at 5:30 and there's a 6 o'clock class. So I go to that 6 o'clock class, get that over with. It makes me feel good for the,
if you didn't have the class, would you go on your own?
I mean, I went to Snap Fitness, which is just like a 24-hour gym for a while, but that's kind of why I joined this, because I'd been doing that for like 2 years and I was just getting not motivated, you know, because I was just lifting weights and it gets kind of boring. It's the same thing every time. So,
So the class it sounds like it's a little bit of a system to help you keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might be doing it more in your personal life than you realize.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's true.
Yeah. Now, do you work on the weekends, or do you cut off?
I don't work on. I try to be very disciplined around not working on Sundays, just for the Sabbath. But sometimes I find myself doing stuff if I've got like a deadline or something I need to hit. Saturday mornings, a lot of time I'll do, that's the time that I kind of set for creating, my course content or doing kind of operational stuff.
Okay.
Working on just the business. Like the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And, what about, like life outside of work?
I like camping. Me and some of my friends were section hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually going camping this weekend, starting tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm heading out tomorrow to camp out with some friends. Ole Miss football, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. What do you like about camping? Is it the socialization, or is it the camping itself, or is it being outside in the wilderness?
There's something nature? About just sitting out in nature, you know, clear sky, sitting by the fire, just, you know, telling stories, you know, laughing. So I just love it. I don't know. It's
awesome. Did you do that as a kid, or is that something you developed as an adult?
I didn't do a ton of, I think we, you know, every now and then, but I don't recall doing it like a ton at all.
Yeah.
I do have to run like 3 minutes.
Oh yeah. We got, all right. Well, wrap us up. anything else you want to say? How can people connect with you?
What would I say? Gosh, man, I should have thought about this a little harder.
any closing wisdom?
I would say the biggest, if you're trying, like, if we're talking about like starting a business or really anything, if set yourself a goal and just take small steps of action. I really do think that God has somehow set this universe up in a way that he rewards people that take action over a long period of time and don't give up.
Consistency.
Like, I think that if you just look at anybody successful out there that's like super successful, they spent years and years not barely getting by until they just, you know, finally it hit something hit. Mm-hmm. So I think the world, for whatever reason, maybe it's to teach, you know, patience and resilience. But I do think the world is set up in that way. I think people just end up giving up because they, for whatever reasons, you know, pressures from home or whatever. So I would say don't give up and create, set a goal for yourself and just keep taking, and don't make it a, you know, you eat, what's the saying, you eat, how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time or whatever. So I think people try to take on too much, and I'm just like, okay, what's the first step I got to do? Let's knock that out. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the next step? Let's knock that out.
Cool.
So how can you find me?
Yeah. And where are they, what's your website, your social media? Where you at?
Yeah. So my Facebook group is called FB Appointments and Profits. You can, the link is gohighticketnow.com/group come join the group. We have trainings there every week and a lot of other free resources, and probably end up DMing you so we can meet each other in the DMs.
Cool. Well, I'll put a link in the notes and people can check that out. Ron Medlin, cool, thank you so much for sharing your life with us today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Share Life. For additional stories and systems to live better and work smarter, visit jasonscottmontoya.com. That's jasonscottmontoya.com. We look forward to having you listen in on the next episode of Share Life.
Are you a freelancer struggling to get clients and sustain an income? Check out Jason Montoya's book, Path of the Freelancer, where he provides the blueprint for mastering freelancing and sustaining a business of one. Start generating a six-figure freelancing income. Get Path of the Freelancer, an actionable guide to flourishing in freelancing, on Amazon today. Are you a small business owner? Have you hit a glass ceiling where year over year, you cannot rise above a certain revenue level? Check out Jason Scott Montoya's book, The Jump, to discover how to level up your leadership and pivot your entrepreneurial passion to the highest level. The Jump, from Chaos to Clarity for Your Striving Small Business, is available on Amazon.